Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.
Match believes that adults date better because when you date as an adult, you get to be a little irresponsible with really responsible people. Rip the clothes off someone who actually knows how to put them away. Fall stupidly in love with someone who's actually really smart. Forget being hot. Get them to ugly laugh. Ready to crush on someone who makes you feel whole? If you know who you are and what you want in a relationship, Match is the place for you. Adults Wanted. Download the Match app today.
Welcome to Nomad Entrepreneur, the podcast for digital nomads and remote working entrepreneurs who are living life on their own terms. I'm your host and fellow nomad, Daniel Falonikbe, and I'm excited to bring you conversations with inspiring individuals who are building businesses from anywhere in the world. Each episode will dive into their stories, tips, and strategies for creating a successful and fulfilling location-independent lifestyles. So grab your headphones, kick back, and join me as I explore the freedom and adventure of the nomadic life. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on? Daniel here. So this video is going to be an interesting one because I had a sit-down chat with one of my friends from Plan B Paraguay. These are immigration experts and they help people get set up in Paraguay with second residency and ultimately citizenship. So if you're looking to getting a second residency in Paraguay, this is going to be an interesting video for you because we talked about everything that you need to have and everything you need to get set up in as little time as possible. So this video is all encompassing. And if you're looking to looking for the means or the options of getting second residencies and things of that nature, make sure you watch this video to the very end. And also, if you find any value in it, don't forget to subscribe. And also, if you have any questions, leave them down in the comment section down below. I leave a contact information to Paul from Plan B Paraguay. You'll be able to get in touch with them if you want to and get started on your journey to obtaining your second residency in Paraguay in no time. I'll leave a link to all of their contact information in the description below. So without further ado, let's get started with this interview with Paul from Plan B Paraguay. I hope you enjoy it.
Hey, well, Paul, how are you?
Very nice to meet you, Daniel.
Nice to meet you as well. I'm so excited to be talking to you here because I've done so much research about the Paraguay residency and everything we're going to talk about today, but it's always very different to talk to someone who knows exactly, you know, what the steps are, someone who's been there, done that. So I'm really excited to be discussing this with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because even on YouTube, there's a lot of misinformation about Paraguay, you know, because the situation is always changing. So I'm definitely happy to answer any questions you have and help your audience out today.
Sounds good. So I have, you know, some technical basic questions direct to the point that I'm going to ask you. And, you know, some of my thoughts are going to, you know, flow in as well. And I'm just going to, you know, follow my curiosity and we'll just see where, you know, lands me because I myself am also learning as well as anyone who's watching this right now. So it would be really nice to, you know, just see, you know, where that takes us. But, you know, the question that a lot of people have or the most pressing question on most people's mind is why Paraguay? Why should anyone even care about Paraguay? Because personally, I know next to nothing about that country. I mean, outside of what I learned in my geography class, why should anyone who is interested in traveling, obtaining a second residence, or just wants to explore a second base care about Paraguay?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's quite a list of things. So rather than just, I'll get right into it, right? So usually with our clients, probably one of the main things, the attractions of Paraguay, is the taxes. So Paraguay is there's only taxes you have to pay on money that's earned in Paraguay. So a lot of people, for example, yourself, I imagine other digital nomads, people with businesses online that are outside of Paraguay, they're able to live in Paraguay and obviously earn from their business. And because this is Paraguay is a territorial tax system, they don't have to pay any tax on their earnings. Now, there is, if they can earn money in Paraguay, that's fine as well. And again, the local taxes are very low as well. It's it caps out at about 10% on locally earned income. So whatever way you look at it, the taxes are really good. The second thing that I really like about Paraguay, and a lot of people really notice, is just the culture. Like, in terms of, it's perhaps one of the friendliest South American countries, and South America in general is friendly to begin with. And it's part of this is, I think it's for two main reasons. First is the local culture of the Guarani people is traditionally they're very friendly, very chill people. And you definitely get that vibe when you're walking around Paraguay. And the other really cool thing for us is because there's not that many expats here. Like, there's not that many digital nomads, right? Mm. And I've heard from my clients, like, I had a client and he recently visited Colombia. And in Colombia, Medellin, people were like shouting, like, gringo, go home, right? So there's clearly parts in South America where it's saturated with expats, and some people in the local population are probably getting sick of that. There's none of that in Paraguay. In Paraguay, because traditionally, like, no one really knows about Paraguay, it's kind of overlooked. And a lot of the local people here, they're so happy and they're so proud that an expat, someone from another country, has decided to come and live in their country. And they treat you that way. So just in terms of the people and the vibe, it's really nice. A personal experience. So I remember, like, when I first came to Paraguay, I left Australia, I was dealing with all moving my life, and I was very stressed, you know, as you can imagine, a massive move. Right. But just walking around Paraguay, after a while, you almost start to pick up on the vibe. Like, people here, they walk slower, they talk slower. Mm. It's almost like everything's so peaceful, and that starts to reflect on you. And I noticed even in my, like, my mentality a little bit, I started to chill out more and be a little bit less type A, and that was really nice. The other thing is, another cool thing that's Paraguay about Paraguay is that a lot of the clients that we get, they're concerned about the direction of where the world's going. You know, generally this is people from Western countries, mm-hmm. Europe, America, lots of different reasons, but they just feel that every year it seems like things are getting worse. It seems like the government's getting more restrictive, life's getting harder, you know? And Paraguay is almost the opposite of that. Like, there's kind of like Australia is a great place to live, but I felt like almost like a slight, almost intangible depression. Like, you know, like in 5 years, 10 years, things are likely to be worse than they are now. Paraguay is a growing country. So it doesn't have that. Obviously, it's not on the same level as infrastructure as these Western countries, right? But what it does have is it does have just the people have hope and they have optimism, which is really nice. You know, people notice their country getting better every year rather than these legacy countries where it's not. Exactly. The other thing is, let's go full like conspiracy mode and imagine like World War III starts tomorrow, right? Paraguay is a good place to be. The main reason is, like, Paraguay basically produces all of its own electricity via hydroelectricity, so you never have to worry about energy problems. Wow. Has a huge underground water supply, so you never have to worry about. Has one of the second or first largest, biggest aquifer in the world, which is water. So they're water independent, and like the whole country's farmland, right? So they're never going to run out of food, and they don't have any, they're on friendly terms with all the countries around them. Like the rest of the world, I love Paraguay. The world doesn't care about Paraguay.
Right.
There could be all sorts of issues in the rest of the world. Nothing's going to change here, you know? And that's kind of neat, especially for people who are more concerned about that sort of thing.
From everything you've talked about, I can pick up on three things generally. One is the friendly, you know, tax regime there. The tax rates are very friendly towards entrepreneurs and people who have businesses outside of, you know, the country, because it's a territorial tax system that they run over there. Two is the really relaxed lifestyle. I mean, you tend to pick up on the relaxed vibes if you're working there. So you don't necessarily have to, you know, worry too much about what's going on in the outside world. It's sort of like you are removed from all of the craziness that's, you know, that's going on, you know, every other parts of the world. And, you know, thirdly, it's a very self-sufficient country in terms of, like, you know, when things or when shit hits the fan, like we like to say, it's a country that you can rest assured that, you know, it's going to be relatively stable than, you know, the rest of the world. That's really awesome. Now let's talk about, you know, the
specifically about the tax system. How can one as an individual, as a business owner, benefit from that? Like, what do you have to keep in place? I would assume that residency is one of the requirements for that. And if that's the case, what is the pathway to residency? What types of residency exists in Paraguay for foreigners like, you know, myself and anyone who's interested in getting one?
Sure, absolutely. So the two main types of residency really at the moment is the temporary residency and the permanent residency. So as of November last year, Paraguay changed some of the rules about residency. So previously, everyone would just get a permanent residency right away. Now they've changed the rules, so they've added this temporary residency that people will have to receive. Now they say it's going to be up to 2 years. So now with our clients, what we do is obviously we apply for the temporary residency for them. It is still possible to get permanent residency immediately. However, you have to go through a different program called the SUASE program, where basically you have to invest $70,000 and create a business and a few jobs in Paraguay to get the permanent residency immediately. For us, however, we believe although it's a little bit frustrating that now there's a new temporary residency, in the end, there's really no difference for you, right? Because there's no difference in terms of taxes, in terms of the rights and freedoms you have in Paraguay, whether you have a temporary residency or whether you have a permanent residency. The only, I guess, thing that's frustrating is that you have that temporary residency for 2 years, and then you have to do like a government, basically administrative process to then convert it into a permanent residency.
So from getting the temporary residency, what is that? There's basically no difference between having temporary residency and permanent residency. But why is there a difference? So why is the process, you know, being extended as it has been? Because from my research about a year ago, I know it's just, you know, a one-time thing. You get a permanent residency and it's just the same process as you would go through. Is this something that, you know, I or anyone should be worried about in the future? Or maybe is this coming to an end, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. So, I mean, obviously, I'd have to guess what the government was thinking when they made this law. Right? I wasn't in the room, but what I can assume, the permanent residency in Paraguay is really good because basically, officially, you need to spend a minimum of 1 day in Paraguay every 3 years to maintain it. From what I've heard, though, the government rarely enforces that. So you could probably get away with not doing that, right? And I think the local government here decided, okay, we need a little bit more of a commitment of people. It's not simply enough that they can come to Asuncion for a couple of days and disappear for 10 years. I think they kind of, obviously, you know, why do they have the residency program? They want to bring expats here. They want to stimulate the economy. They want people living and spending time in Asuncion. So I think they kind of added that little hoop people have to jump through to sort of, so they're committing more time and resources to Asuncion. Yeah,
that really makes sense because, I mean, given the nature of the permanent residency, the fact that you can spend, I mean, you only have to spend 1 day out of the year in, I mean, to maintain that residency, it just makes...
Oh, no, 1 day in 3 years. 1 day over 3 years. Yeah,
Oh, wow, that's even sweeter. So tell me, what are the requirements, I would say, to qualify to apply for temporary residency, at least in this case? And I guess in my own situation, this is one thing that I always think about when I think about this residences. There's a lot of programs out there that, you know, promises to give residences to anyone who qualifies, but qualification is always on the basis of something. And in most cases, it is either nationality or membership of, say, OECD countries and things of that nature. And there is no... what the information that you get up front. Say, for example, I am a Nigerian national. I have a Nigerian passport. I'm a U.S. resident. I guess the basis upon which you get the residency, it's still on, I would say, nationality. Or is there anything like that, or that someone like myself should be worried about, someone without a, you know, first-tier passport, if you will?
Right. Yeah, so it's funny how they do it because basically... if you're able to come to Asuncion, you have a clean criminal record check, you have all your documents in order, you'll be able to apply for the temporary residency, and there's a very good chance you'll be successful. But how the government here sort of makes it difficult for people is that it requires certain passports to have a visa before they enter. So the difficult part of the process is not getting the temporary residency. It's actually getting a visa to come here. So what I recommend for your audience is if you go on Wikipedia, type visa to Paraguay, for example, you'll be able to see the countries that it's fairly easy to get a visa. And if your country is not on this list, unfortunately, Nigeria is not on the list. It can be a bit difficult. It's not impossible, but you have to obviously go to the nearest Paraguayan embassy, go through the whole visa process, which makes it more difficult.
Right. So it's not, you know, different than getting a visa to any country if you would require a visa to enter that country, you know, because... Right, because, I mean, personally, I mean, I speak for myself here, because I don't think I would have any issue whatsoever getting a visa to Paraguay on the basis of my U.S. residency. You know, so I don't, so it's basically, you know, free for all, regardless of your nationality, as long as you can get into Paraguay.
That's right. However, sometimes, obviously, I don't know, I'm not in the mind of the Paraguayan embassies around the world, but sometimes they can be quite strict in who they give visas to, you know. Right. So even though it seems, oh, simple, just get a visa, it's a question of will they grant you the visa or not, right? And that can be the difficult part.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes total sense. I mean, visa are not... I mean, it's not a right of anyone to get a visa. It's, you know, like they say, it's always a privilege. Just the same way the United States makes it almost impossible to get a visa nowadays for citizens of certain nationalities, I would say. Paraguay can also choose who they, you know, reserve the right to give a visa to. That makes a lot of sense. So my next question would be, through this temporary residency and ultimately permanent residency, is there a pathway to, say, citizenship of Paraguay, you know, say somewhere down the line?
Yeah, absolutely. So the requirements for citizenship are fairly simple. So you need to live for a minimum of 3 years in Paraguay. You need to spend at least 6 months a year in Paraguay for each of those years. You need to basically have an official business that they like, so that they can see, or a job in Paraguay. So you can't merely just be a retiree doing nothing. And then you'll need to pass the citizenship test, which is basically a pretty basic Spanish test, and obviously, you know, the local culture, the local laws, that sort of thing.
Right. So it's just almost like any citizenship of any country. It's just a little bit more relaxed, I would say, in terms of like the physical presence requirement. The U.S., for example, requires you to be in the country at least if you are going the 3 year route, they require you to be in the country for at least 18 months, which is almost similar to what you're talking about right now. So it's
okay. Yeah, so it seems fairly standard for South America.
So now, you know, for someone who's listening to this, I mean, this piques my interest. I want to apply. I mean, this looks very interesting to me. What is the requirement in terms of the cost of getting this? Is there like a fee you have to pay, or some things you have to have? Because from my research, I've read on so many different blog posts and from so many different sources that you need to make some cash deposit, or you have like a bachelor's degree or something like that. Can you clarify that up for me a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So let's talk about the cash deposit and the bachelor's degree. So prior to November last year, to get your permanent residency, it was either the $5,000 cash deposit. And you know where that comes from? It's not $5,000. Officially, it's 36 months of minimum wage in Paraguay. So that gives you an idea of just roughly how cheap things are. If they say 36 months of wages is $5,000. That was the official rule. Anyway, so it was that, or it was a university degree. They've scrapped those requirements now. So with the new changes, it's easier in that regard. You don't need the cash. You don't need the degree. It's more difficult, though. That's just that temporary phase now.
Wow, interesting. So now you don't need either of those two requirements, cash or bachelor's degree. And so what do you need then? It's just, you just have to apply.
Right. So it's, yes, you have to apply, but you need a few documents. So we'll go over the basic documents you need. So you'll need to get your birth certificate with an apostille. Should I quickly explain what an apostille is?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so basically an apostille is, if you can imagine, you've got all these governments around the world, right? And how does Paraguay know the certificate that you hand them is legit? Yeah, they ask, an apostille is an official stamp. Your government will put on a document, so then other governments around the world can accept it. So you need... Now, not every country does apostille. There's a separate process if you're in countries that don't, but it's very much similar. So anyway, so you need a birth certificate, apostille. You need to get a criminal record check, apostille as well. Now, this will either be, let's assume you've just been living in your birth country your whole life, it'll be from that country, or if you've been resident in another country for the last 3 years, you'll give it from, obviously, the country you've been living in. Now, then the final thing is, if you've been married or divorced, you also have to provide that documentation with an apostille. So it's really only those three documents you need to obtain before you come here, as well as the visa, obviously, if you fall into that category. Now, besides that, it's really just a fee that you'll pay for a service like ours to help you, or the government fees when you arrive here.
I mean, it's even more enticing than I, you know, ever thought it would be, given the new, you know, the new developments with the, you know, with the residency. And, you know, for someone to apply for something like this, of course, it's not all that straightforward, because someone might think, I want to do this myself. I mean, I've tried to research some resources online and try to, you know, just download some documents and whatnot. But why should anyone, you know, hire an expert? Because that's what most people say. Oh, you need to have someone on ground to help you through the whole process. I mean, if I can just find all the information online, why do I need to go to someone else?
Right. So, In theory, you can do it yourself. So if you're going to do it yourself, I would recommend that you're really good, that you can speak Spanish really well, or that you have a friend that can speak Spanish on your behalf. And I also recommend that you're really patient and good with frustration. Because what can happen is, Paraguay is an amazing country, but sometimes it can be a bit bureaucratic, right? So if you don't have someone doing things correctly, you know, making sure all these little documents are in the right order to hand in and everything's filled out correctly, they're going to reject them, they're going to give them back to you, or they're going to be sitting on someone's desk for a couple of weeks before they reject them and ask for additional stuff. It's just going to be a waste of your time. We're finding with our clients now, we're getting people from arriving to sort of basically done with a temporary residency in 1 to 10 weeks. I've heard, usually when you do the process yourself, you could be waiting up to 8 months. Wow. I have a friend who's currently trying to do the process and he's struggling. He's decided to do it himself. Good on him. I respect that. And he's been sort of struggling. And you'll be going into town, you'll be submitting documents, they'll get rejected, you'll change something, you'll come back. So if you want to do it, go ahead. But I recommend using an expert.
So as someone who enjoy spending a long period of time in a particular place, I want to work remotely from Paraguay, because that's what's something that a lot of people are curious about. What is that experience like? You know, when we talk about things like, you know, connectivity, getting accommodation, can you speak a little bit to, you know, the general cost of living in Paraguay? And as someone coming from a Western country, I would say, how is the adjustment like? Is it what you would expect to, you know, to find, or is it anything less?
Well, I mean, obviously, what you're going to realize first is just how cheap everything is compared to where you were back in the West, particularly things that are related that are produced in Paraguay. So you probably see on our Twitter a lot, we have lots of steak, right? Because steak is just ridiculously cheap and ridiculously good here. But let's zoom out a little bit. So in regards to the internet, I know that's very important. I've had clients ask about that. I've had no problems with, obviously I'm talking to you now, but it's fine. I've maybe been down once or twice for over a couple hours the whole time I've been here, so it does happen occasionally. The power grid I found is very good here, better than other South American countries, so that's not a problem in that regard. What else? Okay, so let's talk about cost of living, right? So, I mean, if you want to live like a Paraguayan, you can do that, absolutely. So the average wage in Paraguay is about $6,000 US a year. Right. So in theory, you could just live like a local person, you'd be fine. However, if you want to spend a little bit of more money, let's say $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 a year, you're going to have a type of lifestyle that it would just be completely out of reach in any sort of Western country. Mm. You know, you're going to be, I mean, living in the best suburb, the best barrio in Paraguay. You're going to be basically eating out most meals if you want to. You're going to have a nice luxury apartment, good gyms, like, yeah. So you can have a very good lifestyle in Paraguay. Yeah, I'd say over $15,000 a year spending, you can have a very nice lifestyle here. But you could get by, like I said, let's say you're pinching pennies, you're trying to get your business going, whatever. You can survive on a lot less if you want to.
That's quite interesting. I always tell people, because I haven't been to Paraguay, and quite honestly, you're the very first person that I will be talking to who lives in Paraguay. I have friends all over South America, Colombia, Argentina, Mexico, in the Caribbean, like everywhere. I just don't get the, you know, what the real picture is about Paraguay, and this, you know, looks more and more, and, you know, enticing as you talk about it. Now, you know, talk about, you know, what you you know, do for people, you know, Plan B Paraguay. I saw you guys on Twitter, you know, started, you know, chatting from there, a wealth of information about Paraguay. How do you help people, you know, through this process, and what can people expect if they, you know, decide to, you know, to go that path with you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, I mean, part of the reason where we started the business is me and my business partner, really with us, sort of, we went through the whole process from leaving our country, moving here, getting the residency, started an amazing life here. And basically, through that, we've collected a lot of resources, and this is what we give to our clients. So obviously, the first part of the process is document collection. And depending on your country, this can be quite simple or can be quite complicated. We've started creating custom guides. So like, let's say you're in America, this is what you need, contact these people. It's all laid out to you. That's what we provide with our clients. Then when you arrive in Paraguay, we'll pick you up from the airport. We'll take you to your hotel, because again, I'm sure you know, arriving in a new country completely disorientated, it's absolutely nice to have someone there to help you out. I feel most vulnerable in the first 24 hours in a new country when I don't have a SIM card, I don't know where my hotel is, so it's nice to have that taken care of. We hooked you up with a SIM card, then you need to spend about a couple of days with us in Asuncion. We always recommend 4 days just to go through all your processes so we can submit your documents, make sure you're going well. After that, you can decide, do you want to stay in Paraguay, or you can leave and we'll send you your documents when they're completed. Now, after you've got your residency, we basically help you with sort of anything that you need to set your life up. So basic stuff, bank accounts, insurance, driver's license. Taxation's a big thing. Obviously, getting your tax sorted and how you're going to do that. We also help you, you know, where are the good places to live? What can you expect to pay a rental agent, you know, to get a good property here? Where do you want to live? Where do you want to avoid? We've also helped clients with even like more obscure things. Like, so for example, we can help you obtain firearms. We know a good friend of mine, it's completely illegal here. Sorry, it's completely legal here, I should say, right, and completely normal. So that's all above board. We get firearms. We have a good friend of mine's a photographer. You know, if you want to date some local girls or whatever, spruce up your profile, we have someone who can help you with your photos and all that. So really, we think about the types of services that you need to really get the most out of your new life here. And we at first just provide you with advice. Obviously, it's free, recommendations. And then if you want to use other services, you're more than welcome to.
Interesting. So this, you know, sounds like a very, you know, premium service. If I ever say anyone or myself decide to ever come there, I don't ever have to, you know, think about the, I would say, the mundane things that, you know, most people would, you know, would think about. So one thing that you'd mentioned that I just wanted you to get a clarification from you is the number of days required to stay, for someone to stay in Paraguay to get the documents, you know, sorted out. You mentioned 4 days. Is that like the maximum, I guess, or minimum I can, you know, stay to get the sorted out? I mean, you mean you can get all of this sorted out in 4 days?
So I would say, I mean, we've got everything done with the government in as little as one day with people, right? That's assuming they've sent their documents, like scans of their documents before us, so we can get all that ready for them. And then they just go, we take them to all the document, all the government buildings they need to get all their documents submitted. That say, usually it's 2 days, and we recommend 4 just because this is South America, you know, stuff comes up. It's good to have a bit of wiggle room just in case. But yeah, in terms of the amount of time you need to spend in Asuncion, it's very low if you don't want to. You're not going to be here for weeks waiting. So but that's to submit your documents.
Yeah.
Obviously, so, there'll be a lag before the process is completed.
So all of this can be done without the subject or without the applicant being present in Paraguay for the entire duration of the processing.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you submit your documents, Paraguay gives you this special, it's called a visa precaria. Basically, it lets you live in Paraguay as long as you want while your documents are being processed.
Oh.
So some people are like, you know what, I'm actually setting up a home base. Paraguay is my home. So they just live here until their documents arrive. They can, you know, live as normal.
Right.
Or there's other people, they fly in, get their documents, and they go back to their home country. And then we send them their documents, their cedula card, which is very important. It's your national ID. So we send them this as well. So you have 2 options, basically, depending on what suits you.
I mean, now I'm like 100% almost certain that this is something I, you know, want to go through, you know, based on everything that you've laid out. And I think, you know, with the way it's been set out, I can say that, you know, from your expert explanation, this is sort of like one of the easiest residency applications that I've ever seen, because a lot of other countries, you know, provide the same the same opportunities as well, but it's just, you know, like pulling teeth sometimes. Thank you, Paul, for, you know, providing all this information. How can people, you know, find you if they all, you know, they want to reach out to you and, you know, just consult you to get this process started?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best way they can contact us is throughout Twitter. If you just type in Plan B Paraguay, that will come up. And we recommend, you'll see there'll be a link on the Twitter. Just book a calendar call with me. I'll be happy to go into any more details people have and help answer any questions in regards to starting a new life in Paraguay.
Interesting. Awesome. Also, I'll leave a link to all of your information, Twitter, email, however people can reach you. It's going to be in the video description as well if you want to reach out to them. I've had a really great time talking about this, and I've had a lot more clarity about the subject than I did when I, you know, got on the call. So thank you so much.
You're welcome, mate. Have a good day. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You as well. Bye. Well, I hope you enjoyed that chat. I learned so much by just talking to Paul about it. And if you are looking to get started on your journey to obtaining your second residency in Paraguay, go check out the links in the description. I'll leave all of the information down there. And don't forget to tell them that I sent you from If Daniel Did. Anyways, if you've learned anything or found any value, consider subscribing. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to leave them in the comments or hit me up on Instagram at If Daniel Did. And I will see you in the next video.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this a lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.